Now, the part of the chapter that I'd like to focus on is there at the beginning. Beginning verse number 3, the Bible reads, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them." And this is the interesting part in verse number 5. It says, "And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians. And the children of Israel dwelt in their tents as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel sin, but walked therein. And there remained the grove also in Samaria." Now, what's interesting about this passage is that it's not at all uncommon for Israel to have gone into sin. And we see throughout the history of Israel, both in the book of Judges and also in the times of the kings, that Israel was constantly forsaking the Lord and serving other gods. You know, it seems like the parents would love God and serve God, but then there would be a children and a generation that would rise up that did not know the Lord, that did not know his works, and then they would fall back into sin and become wicked as a society. And whenever that happened throughout the history of Israel, God would send judgment. He would send punishment, and he would usually send that in the form of an invading foreign army that would come in and oppress them and enslave them. And so it's not at all uncommon for us to see this cycle play out where they go into sin and then God sends them a savior once they finally repent, once they're finally, you know, turn away from their wicked ways, and then that savior will deliver them and then they'll again later on go back to their sins. But what's interesting about this particular savior is that it doesn't tell us his name. You know, when we're in the book of Judges, we see all these great deliverers rise up. Othniel, Ehud, we see Barak, and we see Jephthah, Samson, all the different judges that come in and deliver. But here it just says that the Lord gave Israel a savior so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians. Some great man was raised up by the Lord, particularly to deliver them out of the hands of the Syrians. And this man, this savior, was an answer to the prayer of King Jehoahaz. Jehoahaz besought the Lord. He prayed and he said, "God, we're sorry. We've sinned. We've done wrong. Please deliver us from the Syrians." And God answered that prayer by sending a great man that would be a savior that would deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. Go, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. You see, this man, this great man who did so much and saved his nation, is a man who is unknown today. And he was unknown when the book of 2 Kings was being written even. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it." So this is a pretty bad situation. You've got a very small city and there are few men within it. A lot of men that could rise up and defend the city. This great king comes with a great army and he besieges the city, meaning he surrounds the city and he builds bulwarks against it. He's got all the battlements in place and he's going to take over that city and enslave the inhabitants of that city. And it says, "There was found in it," verse 15, "a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city," watch this, "yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." So here we see the story about a man who was very wise, he was very cunning. He was not a well-respected man. He was not a rich man. He was not a powerful man. He was a very poor man, but he was very smart. He was very cunning, very intelligent. And he, through his intelligence or through his wisdom, devised a plan to defeat an army that had much more weapons, many more men on their side. And yet the Bible says that nobody remembered him. Nobody remembered him. He did not get any credit for what he had accomplished. Go, if you would, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter number 6. You see, all throughout the Bible, we find these unknown men who did great things for God, who were used greatly of God, and they just weren't remembered. You see, obviously, men like Ehud and Othniel and Barak, they went down in history. They're well known. God gives us their names and people know that name. But when we get to the man in 2 Kings chapter 13 who was a savior, you know, nobody remembered him. And when they're writing the book, and obviously I know that the Bible is written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, but God allowed it to be forgotten. God allowed the name to be left out and for the name to be forgotten of that man and what he did. Look at Judges chapter 6. We'll find another example, verse 5. This is talking about the Midianites, when the Midianites are enslaving Israel. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished. Think of the word poverty when you see the word impoverished, because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. Again, not name, not a famous man, not a well-known prophet of the Old Testament. He said, a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So then we see Gideon come on the scene. Everybody knows who Gideon is. That's a famous name. That's a well-known man. But what about this prophet who had the negative job? You know, God sent two men. First, he sent a man to rebuke sin. First, he sent a man to condemn and to say, look, you are in this position because you've sinned, because you've done wrong. You know, that's a hard message to preach. And yet this man faithfully preached God's word. He could have preached a positive-only message like so many preachers choose today. But he faithfully delivered God's word. He pronounced God's anger and wrath on sin toward that nation. Then Gideon got to come along and be the well-known, the good guy. You know, the one who saves them and delivers them. But this man is not known. You see, what we see over and over again in the Bible, and if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6, is that when you serve God and when you do what's right, you're not always going to receive glory on this earth for the great things that you do for God. You know, people aren't always going to recognize the things that you do. And so if your goal is to serve God or to do great things for God in order to get some kind of recognition on this earth or to get some kind of accolades or to get the credit or to get the fame or to get the glory, you know, you're going to be very disappointed in your life. And in fact, you're probably going to quit serving God because you're not, you know, the greater you are and the more good you do, you'll get less recognition for it many times. And look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. What are alms? Well, alms are when you give your money unto the poor. A lot of people will mistakenly try to apply this to tithing or to giving an offering to the church. That's not what this is talking about. This is alms. This is when you're basically giving unto the poor, helping someone out that's in need. And the Bible says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Now, can you imagine the sacrifice of writing a big check or giving a huge amount unto the poor, unto those in need, and you say, wow, I have really sacrificed and done well. But the Bible says, if you do that openly, if you do that to be seen of men, he says, you have no reward of my Father which is in heaven. And you say, well, certainly those who give money will receive a reward. But the Bible says there will be no reward to those who do it to be seen of men. No reward unto those who do it to seek glory. You know, it makes me think of what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he said, if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, right? If I give my body to be burned, he said, but if I have not charity, I'm nothing. It profiteth me nothing. Why? Because it's not coming from the heart. It's not done for the right reason is what he's saying there. You know, you could give all your goods to the poor and you could do it to receive the praise of men, because it didn't come from a heart of charity and love. And if you just do it to be seen of men, the Bible says you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He says in verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, he's saying when you give, when you are generous to someone who is in need, he says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson, does anybody really sound a trumpet when they're doing good works? Does anybody really sound a trumpet when they're doing good things? But honestly, they do. Because how many times do you see when people give that they basically make a big ceremony about the fact that they gave? And they want their name to be engraved on all kinds of plaques and engraved in stone and engraved. I mean, how many plaques and engravings have we seen of people? Look at me, you know, this is what I gave. There are people out there who give only to receive the praise of men. That's why they do it. And they like to make a big deal. There are CEOs of big giant businesses who give all kinds of money, and they do it very publicly, and they pay newspapers and they pay TV stations to run ads and to run specials about how much they gave. I mean, there are businesses who literally buy airtime on TV and buy billboards talking about how much they donated. Who's seen billboards and TV ads? Of course you have, because they sound a trumpet and say, look at me, look what I've done, look how generous I am. And God said, you know what, if you do that, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. If your goal in life is to be righteous before men and to do things in such a way that you will be praised and loved by the people around you, he says, that is the wrong reason, and you don't even have a reward of your Father which is in heaven. And he said, the people who do so are hypocrites. They're actors. They're putting on a show. They're not real. Because people who really love their fellow man and they really love their brother or their sister in Christ, they don't need any glory. They don't need any credit. People who really love the Lord, you know, they just want to serve him because they love him. They love Jesus. They want to serve. It's not about getting credit for it. It's not about being recognized. They're doing it from the heart. And that's why it says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so the Bible here gives us two opposite motivations. There's doing things from the heart, and then there's doing it with eye service as men pleasers. Doing it to be seen of men. Doing it to please man, making sure everybody sees, you know, that you put that money, you know, into that cause or into that charity or into that person's hand. Instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to do this because I love them. I don't want anybody to know about it. I'm going to do it because I love the Lord. He said in verse 3, but when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That's a pretty strong statement. He's saying, look, don't even, I mean, be so subtle about it that your right hand doesn't even know what your left hand did. I mean, that you know, obviously he's exaggerating there. He's just using an extreme example to let you know, look, you need to do it in secret. I mean, do it in secret. That way you'll know and God will know that your heart is right about what you're doing. Look what he says in verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And he keeps saying the same thing over and over again. He says, they have their reward. They have their reward. He says it three times. And let me tell you something. That reward is an empty, worthless reward. You know, if you've ever done something good or done something great, and then people praise you for it, it's not as great as you expect it to be. It's vanity. And when people praise you and give you all the accolades, that's not going to satisfy you. You know, I'd much rather be rewarded of my Father which is in heaven than to just have this empty, vain, look at me, self-glorifying, you know, receiving of the accolades and praise of men. Look at verse 16, moreover, when you fast. So far we've dealt with giving of alms, that's helping people in need. We've seen prayer. And then he said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So fasting is when you go without food. You know, he's saying, don't go around and tell everybody, oh man, I'm on day two of this fast. Oh man, I'm in so much pain. I'm so hungry. Man, that food looks so good. It must be nice to be eating that food right now. Boy, I wish I were eating that food, but I can't because I'm fasting right now. And if you remember, there's that guy that the Bible records, the Pharisee, who goes down to the temple and prays thus with himself, it says. I mean, he's praying with himself, meaning that he's not even praying to God. I mean, there are literally people in this world who pray publicly and they are not even talking to God at all. Are you listening to me? I mean, there are people who are called upon to pray and God is not in all their thoughts. And they're not thinking about God at all. They're not even talking to God. I mean, do you really think that these heathen, wicked, false prophets that our government uses as prayers at these events? I mean, look, no righteous prophet will ever pray at one of these political events. I'm talking, and when I say political events, I'm talking about, you know, where the president's sworn in, or the presidential prayer breakfast, or this, you know, national day of whatever. Because every real prophet of God is despised by the world. He hates the world, and the world hates him. That's a real prophet.
Yes, sir.
And a false prophet is loved of man. A false prophet's the friend of the world. A false prophet is praised by the men of this earth. And so the men who are lifted up as great preachers and great men of God are the biggest compromisers. They're the biggest false prophets and liars that ever walked the face of the earth, and they will burn in the lowest hell. I'm talking about Rick Warren. I'm talking about Billy Graham. I'm talking about these men that our world lifts up and elevates that preach a false gospel. They will not preach a fiery hell. They will not preach heaven by grace through faith in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ, not our Creator, not just God in general, not the supreme being, but the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the only way to heaven.
Right.
That's not what these guys preach. That's not what they preach when they get on the same platform with a Hindu and a Buddhist and a Muslim, and they say, let's all worship and pray and praise together. These men are not of God. But yet they're elevated, yet they're lifted up. And I guarantee you, when they get up and they pull out that piece of paper that has their prayer on it, that is not prayer. If you're reading your prayer off a piece of paper, you're not praying. Because prayer is from the heart. Prayer is when you're talking to God. You're not talking to man. Now look, you say, are you against praying publicly? Absolutely not. But I think most of your prayer should be done privately. That's why Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, our prayer time should be a private time. It should be a secret time. It should be in the closet time, not an open, showy, well, if I'm going to spend time praying, I'm going to make sure everybody knows about it. No, it's between you and God. Because you're talking to God and you're talking to no one else. Now look, is public prayer also biblical? Absolutely. There is a place for public prayer, but there's more of a place for private prayer. We, you know, we pray at church. We pray publicly. I pray. I call upon people to pray. But you know, if I call upon you to pray, it's not a time to impress man with your flowery speech. It's not a time to impress man with how creative you can be, or with how eloquent you can be, or saying things that people want to hear. You know, you ought to be talking to God when you pray. You ought to be talking to God. And if you're not, and you know what I mean. You know what I mean when you're praying and you're not talking to God. You're just putting on a show. And I'm going to tell you something, it's wrong. And God says, you know what? There was this Pharisee, he went down to the temple and he prayed with himself. He's not even praying to God. He's not even talking to God. He's just making a speech with his eyes closed and his head bowed, and he calls that prayer. And that's what these guys do, these false preachers and false prophets. They get up at some event with a microphone and, let us pray. Our Creator. You know, half the time you don't even hear the name Jesus. But they're not really meaning it from the heart. They're liars. Oh, God, bless our country.
Oh God, thank you for the heritage of murdering babies. And thank you for the heritage of stealing money from hardworking Americans so that we could give it unto homosexuals in the Senate and in the Congress. And thank you for the drones that we can use to murder innocent people on the other side of the world for financial gain. You know, that they're not talking to God, my friend. They're just puppets and tools of our government. Prostitutes of propaganda is what they are. And I'm going to tell you something. They are not of God. And I'll tell you who is of God. The guy that you don't even know about.
That's it, right there.
You know who's really praying? Some guy you don't even know about. You don't know his name. You won't ever know his name. His name's not in 2 Kings 13. His name's not in Judges 6. Because he's praying to his Father in secret. And he's praying for our nation. And he's confessing the sins of our nation. And he's not lying and saying that there's peace when there is no peace. And he's not lying and saying God's going to bless sin. God's going to bless wickedness. God's going to bless false gods. No, he won't bless it. And this prophet in Judges chapter 6 is a real prophet. And he said, you know what? God can't bless this. He went to the people and he said, you're praying to the Lord, but you're living in sin. He doesn't hear you. He's not listening. Because you're not... I was just reading the Bible last night to my children. This wasn't in my notes. Let me go ahead and turn there real quick in the book of Proverbs because I don't want to misquote it. But in Proverbs chapter number 15, I was reading this last night and this verse popped out at me, Proverbs 15:29. It says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Did you get that? The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. So in Judges chapter 6, you see people praying. But they're wicked people. They're people who are serving other gods. They're people who are living a sinful and dirty life. And God sends a prophet to them. We don't know his name, but he was a righteous prophet. He was a godly man. And this godly man said, listen, God's not listening to you. And in Judges chapter 10, we see the exact same thing, except God gives us the name of the prophet that came unto them and told them, look, you need to cry out to your false god. Why are you praying to the Lord? You're not following the Lord's commandments. You're not worshiping the Lord. Why don't you go cry out to Baal? Why don't you cry out to Beelzebub? That's your god. Why don't you cry out unto these idols of wood and stone that you've set up and made and in whom you've put your trust? Why don't you call out to them? You see, the righteous man of God that got up and preached and said, look, you are not doing what's right. God can't hear you. They don't remember that guy's name. They don't want to remember his name. That's why his name's not in the Bible, because he wasn't a popular preacher. He wasn't a well-known guy. You see, in Matthew chapter 6, we see that we should do our righteousnesses before the Lord, not before men. We see the Pharisee who went down to the temple and prayed with himself. And here's what he said. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. He said, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He said, man, I'm glad that I'm not like this publican. I mean, he's, you know, and he wasn't even talking to God. I mean, he's just praising himself, lifting himself up, saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this publican, this wicked sinner. Thank you that I'm so godly and that I'm able to fast twice a week, you know, and that I'm able to give tithes of all that I possess. And he's praising himself and he's lifting up himself. And then the Bible says that the publican who he was degrading and looking at and saying, man, I thank God I'm not this guy. He wouldn't even lift up his face to heaven. He beat upon his breast and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And the Bible says this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. He said that the Pharisee wasn't even saved. But he said this sinner that he was despising was saved. Okay. Now, the hypocrite Pharisee had no way of knowing what that guy was praying. He just looked at him and said, oh man, this publican, this, you know, this wicked, sinful guy. He didn't know that that man was a humble man, that that man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he put his faith in the Lord for salvation, and that he was justified and redeemed in the sight of God. And so the Bible teaches here that we should give alms in secret, that we should pray in secret. And then he mentions fasting, and he says in verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now go, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Let me give you some more examples of some Old Testament prophets who we don't know who they were. In 1 Kings 20:13, for example, the Bible says, "Behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. 2 Chronicles 25:15, Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with them, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. So here's a guy who is an unknown, unnamed man. He goes and he preaches straight to the king. Now that took some boldness. That took some guts. And he walked right in there and confronted the king, and he told him, You are in sin. You are not right with God. And the king just said, Who do you think you are? Are you one of my official clergy? You're not on my clergy list. And the guy said, Well, you know what? If you're not going to listen to me, that just shows that God wants to destroy you, and it's too late for you. And he left. Unknown man. But you know what? I'd like to shake his hand when I get to heaven. He sounds like a great prophet, a great preacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 4, But in all things approving ourselves as the what? Ministers of God. You know what minister means? Servant. Someone who serves. He said, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. He's saying oftentimes we appear unto the world as deceivers, even though we're telling the truth. He's saying, we are unknown, verse 9 says, and yet well known. As dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You see, these men in the Bible who are unnamed, like we saw in 2 Kings 13, that Savior that came and saved the whole nation, or like we saw that poor man who was wise and delivered the city, or we saw these three prophets that come and preach a message. Look, if you're preaching a message and your message is recorded in the Bible, you're a pretty serious prophet. Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you say that? And let me ask you this, you're well known because your words have been read by millions and millions of people in every language in the world, but yet you're unknown. You're as unknown and yet well known. Because people know the result of what you did. They know your works. They know the impact that you had, although they don't know your name. And you know what? There are so many people that serve God in a way where they don't get the recognition or the accolades or the credit. You know, and if you think about it, even in a church, let's just say in a church, you know, obviously in a church, the pastor gets the credit. You know, the pastor gets the glory in some cases. And of course, we always strive to give God all the glory. But, you know, if anybody is going to be, you know, praised, it's usually the pastor. But wait a minute, what about all the other people who are serving God that are not getting the credit, that don't get any of the glory, but yet are working hard and striving to serve God in their own capacity? You know, what about them? And I'll tell you what. You know, be not many masters, because we shall receive the greater condemnation. You know, being a pastor, you know, it's like you, when people praise you, you're like, there goes another reward, you know. But I'm telling you, here's the thing. Stop taking my reward. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, what I'm saying is there are people who work really hard in this church, who do a lot of great works for God, that don't get any credit, don't get any glory. They're not looking for credit. They're not looking for glory. They're serving God from the heart. They're doing what's right, not to be recognized or to be seen of men, not to have their name on the window or to have their name put out there and everybody know their name. No, they're serving God because they love God. They're serving God and they're serving people because they love people. And you know, they're, I mean, just stop and think about it. I mean, who cleans the building? You know, there are people who clean the building. And you know, you take it for granted sometimes. You just assume, and especially when you're a child, you don't understand what goes into things. You know, you walk into a building and you just assume that this building is just magically here. You know, the walls are magically painted and all this artwork just appeared, you know, one day, and all the vacuums get cleaned, all the trash gets taken out just magically. We just show up and it's like this every day. You know what? There are people who work hard cleaning the toilet, cleaning the bathroom, taking out the trash, vacuuming the carpet, setting up the chairs. And you know what? Do you know who those people are? Probably not. But you know what? God sees what they're doing, and God's going to reward them, and God's going to bless them for serving Him in that way. You know, there are people who do other things, like, for example, giving rides to church. There are people who pick people up and bring them to church and give them rides to soul winning and rides to church and rides home. You know, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of energy. That's a lot of effort. That's a lot of work. And you know what? It doesn't get your name out there. It doesn't get you the praise of man, because 99% of people don't stop and think about these things. They don't stop and think about when there's a church activity, who's buying all the food and preparing all the food and who's cleaning up the mess and staying after for hours, cleaning and serving and ministering. But you know what? They're doing it because they love our church, and they're doing it because they love God, and they're doing it because they're serving from the heart. Not to receive a reward on this earth, not to receive glory and praise of men. And then even sometimes some things that maybe are a little bit more public. You know, there are some things that people do that are more public by nature. For example, playing the piano. You know, obviously that's a public thing. Everybody knows who's playing the piano, and everybody knows who's playing the organ, and everybody knows who's playing other musical instruments. But let me say this, people don't recognize the work that went into the training. You know, when you say, you know, I tried to learn how to play the piano, but I just don't have any talent. You know what? Playing the piano is like 90% hard work and 10% talent. And any musician can tell you that. People who, and honestly, by and large, musical talent is a myth, by and large, just so you know. Because you know what musical talent is? It's just people who at a young age took an interest in music, and so spent their time working at that. And honestly, there have been many scientific studies. I've read books and books and books on music and on the psychology of music and on people's brains and how it interacts with music, because music is a subject that I'm very interested in. And so I've read many books, I've read scientific studies about it, and I'm telling you right now that musical talent is by and large a myth, and that it is 90% practice. 90% hard work. And look, any of you who've tried to play a musical instrument, it was hard, wasn't it? I mean, who can say, man, I sat down and tried to play an instrument and it was just really hard and I quit playing. You know, I mean, there's probably a lot of hands that would go up. Because, I mean, I tried and I was just like, man, I have no talent. This is just really hard. And I'm not criticizing that, because I don't think everybody needs to become a musician. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're bad if you quit. You know, different people have different interests. Some people are really interested in music. Some people love music. And you know, God can use them greatly in that capacity. Other people have interest and gifts in other areas. That's all fine and dandy. Not everyone has. But I'm telling you this, when you think about how hard it was for you, okay, to learn how to play, think about the fact that somebody who knows how to play overcame that and spent thousands of hours practicing, and that's why they can play. And that's why you can't, because they spent thousands of hours. You know, I used to think that Brother Matt just had some kind of that he was just some kind of a freak of nature, the way he could just play piano so easily and pick up the songs. But then I realized he's practicing for hours a day. You know, he practices a lot. And then I'm like, well, I don't practice as much as he. I was like, man, it must be nice. You know, I practice for hours and hours and hours and make very little progress. And he just sits down, just la, la, la. But you know what? There's work behind the scenes that goes into that. And, you know, I'm just saying that even things that are public, even people who serve God publicly, you know, playing an organ, playing a piano, whatever, you know what? There's more work sometimes going into that than what meets the eye, okay? And you know what? No one who serves God from the heart is ever going to be fully appreciated for what they do. But let me tell you something. That's not what it's about. Because you know what? I believe that when the Bible says as unknown yet well-known, you know what I believe about that? I believe that that's talking about the fact that you're unknown to man, but known to God. God, the Bible says that the hairs of your head are numbered. Okay, and here's another thing. You know, sometimes women are not as recognized as men, right? You know, if you read the Bible, and for example, when you have kids and you're looking for baby names, you have a lot more boy baby names to choose from than girl baby names. Isn't that true? If you're looking for a biblical name, I mean. You know, if you want to use a Bible name, there are so many men's names in the Bible, thousands of them. Some of them are a little weird, okay? But anyway, you know, there are thousands of men's names. And so when you're looking for a boy baby name, it's pretty easy, isn't it? But when you're looking for a woman's name, it's more difficult. Now, there are a lot of women that are named in the Bible, but not as many as men. Not near as many. Now, some people misinterpret this. And they say, oh, God is, you know, is anti-woman, or God is doesn't love women as much as he loves men. Or okay, did God not love the Savior in 2 Kings 13? Or the prophet in Judges 6? Is that why he left out their name? You know what? In fact, if you read the four Gospels and you get to the book of John, you know, the entire book of John, it leaves out the name of John. And when it talks about John, it's talking about John the Baptist. And when you go through, it'll be telling a story and it'll just say, that other disciple, right? And it doesn't give you his name. It just says, you know, this disciple, you know, Peter and another disciple was there also. And that unnamed disciple in the book of John is always talking about the Apostle John. And you know who John is also called? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Okay, so just because God doesn't name your name doesn't mean God loves you. Just because you're behind the scenes doesn't mean God loves you. And obviously we know that in Christ there's neither male nor female. We know that God loves women just as much as he loves men. We know that women have just as much value in the eyes of God as a man does. It's not that God says, well, men are greater. Now look, men are stronger than women. And if you don't believe me, I'll challenge any woman to come up and arm wrestle me right now. And I'm not... Does anybody think I'm the strongest man in the world? Because I'm not the strongest man in the world. Now, I know you thought that. No, I'm just kidding. But look, I'm not the strongest man in the world. But I will defeat any woman right now in arm wrestling. Any takers? And look, we've had women come up here and arm wrestle me, a couple of them, and I always win very fast. Why? Not because I'm the strongest man, but because men are stronger than women, period. And the Bible calls the woman the weaker vessel. Okay, because men are stronger. Are there differences between men and women? Absolutely. Is there a difference in the authority structure between men and women? Are women supposed to usurp authority over the man?
No.
But does that mean that men are better than women?
No.
No, and nowhere in the Bible is it taught that men are better than women. It teaches that they're in charge. It teaches that they're stronger, but it never teaches that men are better or have more value or are more important to God than women. And yet, they're more unknown than men. Think about that now. I mean, men are more publicly getting the glory. I mean, look, women aren't pastors. You know, women aren't preaching publicly in church. Women aren't, you know, leading a nation or leading, I'm talking about godly women now. They're behind the scenes, aren't they? But you know what? God sees their work. God sees their efforts. God sees what they're doing. And God will reward them greatly. And they may even receive a greater reward than men, because a lot of men have their reward now. Because what they do is seen of men. And they have their reward. Whereas what ladies do is often behind the scenes, unrewarded, unknown, and yet well known. In the eyes of God. You know, the woman is at home changing thousands of poopy diapers. Thousands. I mean, if you have kids, you know, I mean, it's thousands. I mean, think about it. I mean, look, and there's 365 days in the year, my friend. Now start multiplying how many kids you have. You know, that's not a fun job. That's not a pleasant job. It's hard work, but you know what? Your labor's not in vain. And you know what? You're unknown. Nobody thinks about the fact that women are at home, you know, a lot of times kids, dinner time, you know, and there's a 5-star meal on the table and they haven't really processed what went into that. They haven't processed that dad went out and worked for hours and hours to pay for that food. They haven't processed that mom slaved over the kitchen and cleaned and cooked and went to the store, bought the ingredients, read the cookbook, you know, did all the work to prepare the food. Look, these things don't happen by themselves. The church building doesn't clean itself. People don't just magically get a ride to church when they need it. You know, the piano doesn't play itself. The organ doesn't play itself. You know, the sermon doesn't preach itself. You know, there's a lot that goes into serving God, and there are people who are publicly recognized for it, and they're seen, like, yep, we know the pastor is preaching sermons, and we know the piano player is playing the piano. You know what? But what about the people who do things behind the scenes? You know what? God doesn't forget about them. Even if we do, God doesn't. And God sees your hard work, ladies, when you're raising the kids and when you're reading the Bible to them every day and when you sacrifice and say, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice maybe as much social life as I would have wanted, or I'm going to sacrifice maybe just, whatever I wanted to go out and play and have fun and fool around, and I'm going to make a sacrifice and read the Bible to my children every day. And you know what? Nobody sees that. People don't recognize that. But you know what? Your labor's not in vain. And God sees you choosing to put Bible time first. God sees you choosing to read the Bible under your children. God sees you working hard to take care of your husband and take care of your children and to do a good job about the house. And you know what? You're well known in the eyes of God as being a righteous and godly and virtuous woman. And you know, whenever you serve God, you're always known in the eyes of God. And don't ever get this attitude that says, well, I'm not, nobody appreciates me. That's great. You should be happy about that. Man, nobody, I'm vacuuming the building and nobody even knows I do this. Nobody even cares. Their Brad is, you know, running around with a cupcake just tearing out pieces and just throwing it, you know, just like they're sowing the seeds or something. You know what I mean? Their little brat with that cupcake is just finger painting the floor with frosting, you know, and nobody even cares. Nobody even sees me staying up late and working. Nobody sees me, you know, I don't get any credit for it. Does anybody even realize how much soul winning I'm doing? You know, I mean, that is, look, if they don't realize it, that's great. The less people appreciate you, the less they see what you're doing, the less they understand the work that you did for God, the greater God is going to take notice, and the greater your reward's going to be in heaven, and the greater joy God's going to get out of saying, you know what, this person's serving me from the heart. They're not getting any recognition. They're not getting any accolades, and yet they're faithfully serving me. And so don't get an attitude that says, poor me, nobody realizes what I do. Nobody, you know, these kids don't understand what I sacrifice for them. Or my wife doesn't understand. Or my husband doesn't understand. Or my church doesn't understand. Everything that went into what I do. Look, they never will understand. But you know what? Just be glad that God knows. And if that's not enough for you, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. If it's not enough for you to know that God counts the hairs on your head and He knows every sacrifice you've made and every time you've served God and every time you've prayed and every time you've fasted and every time you've gone soul winning and every time you've cleaned the building and every time you've cooked a meal and brought it to somebody that was in need and every time you reached into your pocket and gave money unto someone that needed it, you know what? If it's not enough for you to know that God sees that and God is well pleased with that and that God realizes that you love Him when you do those things for Him, because He said, you know, that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments, and that if we've done it unto one of the least of these, our brethren, we've done it for Him. If it's not enough for you, then your heart's in the wrong place, because that should be your motive. That should be your goal. And look, if you're a preacher, your goal should be to praise God. Why didn't my name end up in the Bible? Why'd you put Oded's name in the Bible? Was he that famous? Why don't you name me, God? What do you mean, a Savior? You could have just said, you know, it was so-and-so. But you know what? That's not what it's about. It's about pleasing God. It's about serving God. Do things for the right reason. Let me just close with one more verse. In Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." So God says, look, you got two choices. You can either serve Christ or you can please men. And you can't try to do both. And if you're a man who likes getting recognition for what you do and likes to make sure that every time you give alms or every time you pray or every time you fast or every time you win souls or every time you do something for God, you want to make sure everybody knows about it. You know what? You're not the type of person that should pastor a church. Because you'll, next thing we know, you'll be at that prayer breakfast. Next thing we know, you'll be hanging around with the mayor of the city. Next thing we know, you'll be lowering the standards. You'll be censoring the preaching because you like to please man instead of pleasing God. You know, if that's the type of person that you are, that just loves to get recognized all the time, and you know what? We ought to just realize that, you know, it's pleasing God that matters. That's what, and that's one of the reasons, I, like we tally up the soul winning numbers, which we do that for one reason, to keep track of it. Not as show and tell, you know what I mean? And so, and look, you know, I don't think people should be like, you know, I mean, look, I'm not saying hide it, but I'm saying don't be a person that just wants to glorify self. And that's your motive. And that's why when we go out soul winning as a group on Sundays or on Wednesdays or other days when there's a group, you know, I always like to just get the group total and just bring that in. Because that's what it's about. It's about the team. It's about the church. You know, and I that's why I like it when I go out soul winning with my partner. You know, if I had four people saved and he had zero, or if he had four and I had zero, I just like to say, hey, this is how many we had. Amen. This is how many the team had. Why? Because it's not about, you know, showing people what we have done. Because you know what? God's the one who gives the increase. Who are we? We're nothing. We're ministers. We're servants. You know, we are not great. We are, you know, we are just children. You know, we are just servants. And we ought to give God all the glory. And you know what? If you serve Him and don't get glory, and if you're even sometimes hated and despised for it, and nobody recognizes what you do, then you're supposed to rejoice and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. Please God, serve God so that He'll know about it, not so that your name can become well known. And, you know, this is something that all of us need to realize and work on and say, you know what? Pride is not what it's about. It's about being humble. It's about letting other people be in the limelight. Let other people get the glory. Let other people be in the spotlight. You know what? As long as I know that God sees what I'm doing and that God's proud of me, that's all I need. That's enough for me because He's the one I'm really trying to please. And if I give alms, it's because I love my fellow man, not because I'm trying to get my name embossed on a metal plate somewhere. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your word, and we thank You so much for Your unspeakable gift. When You died on the cross for our sins and were buried and rose again, please, Father, just help us to serve You without any wickedness in our heart that desires glory. Help us not to, for vain glory of man, do things openly, but rather help us to just serve You quietly and in secret, that our reward will be great in heaven. And please help those that are the unsung heroes, those that are the hard workers that don't get any recognition, help them to know that You're pleased with them. And I pray that You would bless them openly. I pray that You'd reward them openly, as You said, that if we serve You in secret, that we'll be rewarded openly. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.